Picture thousands of African children exhausted, pushing a merry-go-round in circles, not for fun, but because their village desperately needs water. This was the reality of play pumps, a development project that seemed brilliant on paper. Kids play, water flows, communities thrive. Celebrities endorsed it. Laura Bush wrote a $16.4 million check. By 2009, nearly 2,000 pumps dotted Southern Africa. Then the truth emerged. Children grew too tired to play, leaving women to push the heavy equipment themselves. The pumps delivered less water than traditional hand pumps, while costing four times more. Most broke down without repair. The American branch quietly shut down, admitting failure. Meanwhile, researchers testing simple deworming programs discovered something remarkable. 5 cents bought an additional day of school attendance. 10 years later, those dewormed children earned 20% more income. One approach relied on emotional appeal and untested assumptions. The other used rigorous evidence and cost-effectiveness analysis. The difference? Thousands of transformed lives versus wasted millions and broken promises. This pattern repeats across development work. Scared Straight programs aim to deter juvenile delinquency by exposing at-risk youth to prison conditions, but they actually increased crime rates by 28%. Clothing donations to East Africa have severely impacted local textile industries, potentially causing more long-term harm than good. Good intentions aren't enough. We need evidence, rigorous testing, and honest evaluation of what actually works versus what merely feels good. If you earn $52,000 annually, you're in the richest 1% globally. At $28,000, you're in the top 5%. Nearly half of humanity survives on less than $5.50 daily. This creates the 100x multiplier. Your resources can do at least 100 times more good for someone in extreme poverty than for yourself. Doubling someone's income produces roughly the same happiness increase regardless of starting point, meaning $220 to someone living on $2 creates the same well-being boost as $28,000 would for you. While extreme poverty has plummeted from 94% in 1820 to under 10% today, the gap between rich and poor nations has widened dramatically. The average person in wealthy countries is now over 100 times richer than someone in the poorest nations. This disparity creates unprecedented power. Treating neglected tropical diseases costs just a few dollars per person. Basic education runs about $150 annually per student. Your modest donation can fund anti-malarial bed nets, vaccinations, or micronutrient supplementation, potentially saving or dramatically improving multiple lives with a single click. Most charities don't reveal what your money actually accomplishes. Economists use quality-adjusted life years, QALYs, to compare interventions. Preventing blindness in a 20-year-old provides 30 QALs. Antiretroviral therapy for a 40-year-old with AIDS provides 6.5 QALs. AIDS skeptics cite trillions spent with little impact, but $1 trillion over 60 years equals just $40 per recipient annually. Meanwhile, life expectancy in sub-Saharan Africa rose from 37 to 56 years. Smallpox eradication alone, saving 60 to 120 million lives at $40,000 per life, justifies all aid spending. The key insight? Aid effectiveness follows a fat-tailed distribution, where top programs dramatically outperform average ones. Deworming produces 139 additional school years per $1,000, 15 times better than providing uniforms. Promoting condom use provides 100 times more benefit than treating Kaposi's sarcoma. Malaria bed nets deliver 500 times more benefit than some health interventions. We shouldn't just ask if a program is good, but whether it's the best use of resources. Training one guide dog costs $50,000, enough to cure 500 people of trachoma blindness in developing countries. Cancer receives $217 billion annually, while malaria gets only $1.6 billion, despite causing half as much global suffering. Why? Rich countries eliminated malaria decades ago. This neglect creates extraordinary opportunities. U.S. health programs spend $50,000 per quality-adjusted life year, but the same benefit costs just $100 in poor countries, a 500x multiplier. Focusing on top programs lets you save dozens of lives throughout your career for around $3,400 per life saved. Many ethical ideas, now considered common sense, equal rights for women, Black people, LGBTQ individuals, were once dismissed as radical. Abolitionists pursued these causes because potential benefits were enormous, even when success seemed uncertain. This expected value approach multiplies probability of success by magnitude of impact. Even low probability actions can be worth taking if potential impact is vast, just as you'd respond to a carbon monoxide alarm with 20% accuracy because potential harm outweighs inconvenience. Consider performing CPR on a heart attack victim. If you're the only person available, you're a hero, even with imperfect technique. But if you push aside a trained paramedic to perform worse CPR, you've caused harm. What matters is the counterfactual, the difference between what happens because of your actions versus what would have happened anyway. This thinking reveals crucial insights about impact. While doctors in rich countries save lives, someone nearly as qualified would have taken your place if you hadn't become one. This replaceability suggests working in neglected areas creates more marginal impact. Becoming a researcher in neglected tropical diseases or working on AI safety might have greater effect than joining a saturated field. The same applies to donations. Ask not just, what will my donation achieve, but what will it achieve that wouldn't have happened otherwise? This might mean supporting newer organizations where each dollar has larger marginal impact. Global catastrophic risks, nuclear war, pandemics, bioterrorism, could devastate humanity yet receive relatively little attention. $30 million annually for nuclear security, a few million for biosecurity. Standard analyses underestimate climate impact by focusing on likely scenarios while ignoring catastrophic risks like 10C plus warming that could cause civilizational collapse. The causes we hear least about may be precisely where we can make the biggest difference. Research debunks follow your passion advice. 84% of students' passions match only 3% of jobs, and interests shift over time. Job satisfaction actually stems from 5 features: independence, sense of completion, variety, feedback, and contribution. These predict happiness far better than passion. When evaluating careers, consider personal fit, immediate impact, and long-term potential. Counterintuitively, prioritize building skills and credentials early rather than chasing immediate impact. Advanced degrees, programming skills, or strong networks dramatically increase future influence. Senior positions have disproportionate impact, so maximizing your chances of reaching them matters enormously. Don't assume charity work automatically creates change. Impact depends on organizational effectiveness and your added value. Approach career choice like testing hypotheses. Maintain flexibility, identify key uncertainties, and test different paths. Promising strategies include direct work for highly effective organizations, earning to give by supporting cost-effective causes while building valuable skills, and politics or advocacy offering small chances of enormous influence. Keep options open. Moving from for-profit to nonprofit is easier than the reverse. Your career spans decades. Building career capital now multiplies your impact for years to come. Good intentions aren't enough. Compassion without rigor is theater, not transformation. Your choices about giving, career, and causes determine whether real people live or die, whether children escape poverty or remain trapped. The uncomfortable mathematics of effectiveness aren't cold calculations, but profound moral obligations. Every dollar spent ineffectively is a life not saved. Every career pursuing passion over impact wastes decades of potential. Every cause, chosen for emotional resonance over evidence, is an opportunity lost forever. This isn't about perfection. We'll never have complete information. It's about honestly asking, with my limited time, money, and energy, how can I do the most good? Not some good, not feel good, the most good. The answers will challenge your assumptions and might make you uncomfortable, but they'll also reveal your extraordinary power to transform lives, not someday, but right now, with evidence-based action and clear-eyed commitment. The question isn't whether you can make a difference, it's whether you're willing to do the hard work of making the biggest difference possible.